Cool. Call to order the open session and start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hands over heart.
Begin.
And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Thank you. Mr. Clerk, can we do a roll call, please?
You sure can. Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Commissioner Brennan.
Present.
Present.
Vice Chair Gardena.
Here.
Chair Blumen.
Here. Commissioners, we have a draft agenda in front of us.
Move approval.
Second. Got a motion and a second. All in favor of adopting the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, we have adopted the agenda for the evening. All right, next is approval of the minutes from our April 19th commission meeting. Commissioners?
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second on the minutes. Do I need to ask for public comments on the minutes? No? What's the rule in there, Council? All right, so I have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, we have approved the minutes from our April 19th board meeting. All right, we'll move on to public communications. So the opportunity for public to testify on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have any public speakers?
I have no notices for items not on the agenda. And no speakers in the virtual audience.
All right. Nobody in person, nobody virtual. So we will close public communications. Move on to our closed session report. Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A closed session was held as set forth in the agenda. The board received a report on item 1A on the closed session agenda. Gave direction to staff as to how to proceed. No action was taken on that item that is reportable under the Brown Act. The board will reconvene in closed session after the conclusion of the standard agenda to consider item number 2 on the closed session agenda.
Thank you. When we reconvene, how will we handle a closed session report for that?
I think we're going to want to report out again.
So we'll end the open session, go to reconvene the closed session.
Correct.
Adjourn that.
And then come back into open
back
session
to open
and
session
report out.
Report out on the closed session. Got it. Thank you. All right. We'll move on to board communications, an opportunity for the commissioners to briefly talk about issues related to the port. Commissioners, anything to share? Becky?
I wasn't able to come to the last meeting and share this, but we recently had the Surfrider Foundation come out and do a presentation to several restaurants about ways that they could have more sustainable practices. And I was really excited to go to the Harbor Cafe, who was present at the Surfrider presentation. And actually they had reusable plates, and instead of bottles of water, they were giving glasses of water. The garbage cans were now such that you could only put food waste in them. And it was a great response to the presentation that they saw. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Harbor Cafe for making that adjustment to the way that they do business. Hopefully others will follow in there, take their lead.
We have kind of set the goal that the district will lead the way on sustainability. So it sounds like we're off to a great start. So I'll just add that there is a seat open on the commission. The applications are due May 8th, and I do know one person that's applied for that seat, but I would encourage others. So,
Chair, if I might, last meeting I mentioned about the Sand Summit put on by Beacon.
Yeah.
It'll be May 11th, 9:30 to 11:30, and I want to thank Todd Mitchell for being involved and reporting out on the dredging. And basically, it has all four harbors, starting in Santa Barbara, Ventura, Channel Islands, and the Port of Hueneme. online talking about their dredging and sediments and sand and where they're moving it and the amounts that they move. And that's one thing I just want to say on a national scale, that's finally somebody's woken up and said, oh my gosh, where's the sand coming from? How much is it? And where's it going? So we are now trying to actively keep that in on the radar screen. And so if you go to beacon.ca.gov, hit the link and the information on the sand summits there. So Michael, I know you were participated last time, and I'm going to send you an invitation. I'll actually send it individually to all the board members if you want to just listen in. But it does tell you that what's going on here is very pertinent to what's happening across the country. But more importantly, keeping track of the amounts of sediment and where they're going, I think is just as good. So thank you. And John, I know you have an active part in that when the dredge comes here. So thank you for the help there also.
Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. Will Dr. Patch?
He's going to give a tutorial. It won't be the same one, but it's and those are posted on the Beacon website. And I just want to say, I shared one with somebody the other day, and they said it was the most amazing. They learned more in 20 minutes looking at that than they had in probably two decades. Didn't say going to school, but two decades. it was just so well done. So, yeah, Kiki was amazing and does a good job of portraying it. So thank you.
I really enjoyed her presentation. Yeah. It's actually made me think about going back to school.
Go to Cal State Channel Islands. There's a lot of sediment brought on by just what's happening here is starting to – they're having a whole department.
I could get a doctor in geomorphology.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
I'll say
is Congressman Carbajal's office aware of this?
Yes, they are. Salute is not available that day. He had other plans, but Congresswoman Brownlee will open the meeting and her staff stays on because they've been instrumental. But Congressman Carbajal's office also will stay on because they – between Brownlee and Carbajal, we have two Congress folks that will continue to fight, especially with what's going on now, as you saw the debt ceiling and people looking to cut things. We need to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. When Todd had an opportunity to brief Congressman Carbajal and his staff, they asked a lot of good questions. And so this give them a great opportunity to understand all the sand movement and why dredging is so important to us. Thank you. All right, we will close the board communications, move on to our staff and general manager reports. Brian?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a chance earlier today to participate with the California Special Districts Association sponsored a meet and greet with District Director Stephanie Ramirez Zarate for Senator Monique Limon's office at the Esplanade Tower, and had a chance to be there with a couple of other general managers with different special districts from the county, Parks and Rec, Health District, Libraries, Water District, have a chance for her to get to know us. I think she was with the senator when she was a member of Assembly and has rejoined her now in the Senate. She was getting caught up. I think she's been with the senator now for about 4 months and a chance to meet some of the constituent special districts within her district. So it's great, good opportunity to talk about state legislation and issues in the various special districts. So that was very, very useful. Back here in the harbor, marketing is given me several great things to share with the group. The Greek has announced its launching of The Greek After Dark, running weekly on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, beginning at 9:30, gives guests a place to unwind, drink, eat, and offering reverse happy hour starting at 9:30. And Cinco de Mayo is this Friday. Of course, we have several great restaurants, Margarita Villa and Baja Bay Surf and Taco. Margarita Villa is going to be offering all day happy hour menu, drink specials, and music from 6 to 10. And also we have cross promotion of National Park Week, which took place last week as our marketing team developed a real paid social and dedicated e-newsletter and website coverage to cross promote Junior Ranger Day in the Channel Islands Visitor Center this past Saturday. It's National Tourism Week starting on May 7th. And the harbor is once again offering a Ventura Harbor Seaside vacay, as in vacation package, valued at $650, thanks to our partners at the Four Points by Sheraton and Island Packers, along with gift cards from Harbor Village. Mother's Day weekend is coming up, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. Several activities taking place or leading up to Mother's Day, including new baking classes being offered by Sugar Lab Bake Shop, and two-day pottery, a Mother's Day market at Ventura Pottery Gallery, and live entertainment and a flower bar to purchase flowers for mom at the gallery. So a lot of good stuff just happened and happening this this weekend and into next weekend. So everybody come on out and enjoy the harbor. And that is my report.
Brian, thanks for that update, and thank you for the reminder about Mother's Day. It always seems to sneak up, doesn't it? All right, we'll close. Well, actually, commissioners, any comments on general manager reports? Any public comments on general manager reports? No public comments. So we will close the staff manager report, move on to the consent agenda. We have one item on the consent agenda. An authorization to execute three grants, three easements with Southern California Edison. These are typically, well, this is one item and we'll.
I move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
All right, got a motion and a second. Do you have any comments on the consent agenda, Todd? No comments on the consent agenda. We have a motion and a second, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Sorry. So consent agenda is approved. Brian, I kind of stole your thunder there. Sorry, I got on a roll. Anything you wanted to add on that? Keep on rolling. All right, we will roll into the standard agenda. Item number one is adoption of an ordinance authorizing the execution of the amendments related to directors. So Brian, I'll let you take it from there.
All right, I might have a few comments here. So the master tenant of parcel 20 is Director Marine Holdings. I see Tom Director in the audience tonight. Thank you for joining us. Due to planning related impacts caused by the city's Ventura Water Pier project, Director submitted a formal request many months ago to the district to consider an amendment to the option agreement for the 50-year lease. And it was the request of Director to eliminate and or modify some of the milestones required before being able to exercise the option of that lease. At the board's last meeting on April 19th, the board received a staff presentation outlining the proposed amendments to the agreements, testimony from Director in support of the proposed amendments, and at that time authorized the publication of the proposed ordinance. Since that time, the proposed ordinance was published in the Ventura County Star on April 20th, and if approved by the board tonight, will become effective immediately. The district has not received any comments since the publication of the ordinance, and staff would ask that the board approve the recommended ordinance, which, as mentioned, would become in effect immediately. And that is our report.
Do we have any public comments on this item? Tom, you want to hit the mic button, please, for the orange button right there. There you go.
There we go. Hello. All right. I just wanted to say that the we realize the Water Pure project is critical to Ventura's water supply, but has already had a significant impact to Director's business, our storage business, and added a high level of uncertainty going forward to the improvement project in terms of timing and cost and when do we get started, and it's added a lot of uncertainty. Brian and Todd and Andy have been really helpful in pushing forward this amendment that we had proposed. It'll give us the flexibility we need to weather the impact of the uncertainty from Water Pure, and will help us really effectively move forward. I really wanted to thank you, Brian, Todd, Andy, and all the commissioners, because this is having a big impact, and this negatively so far, but with this amendment, we'll really be able to hit the gas moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for joining us tonight, and thanks for those comments. Commissioners, thoughts?
I'll just jump in. I mean, we had the presentation at our previous meeting. I mean, I think it's all, I'm kind of with Tom, it's all go. I mean, and I would just say, I want to add to Tom's comments and thank staff and Tom and Lenore and everyone for pulling this together, getting this done. I just think this is all good, and we can really get things going on that parcel like we all hope. So, and I'll let others make comments, but if there aren't any, I'll be happy to make the motion to move the recommended action, including adoption of ordinance number 57.
Looks like we have no more comments. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to adopt ordinance number 57, authorizing the execution of this amendment. This requires a roll call vote.
Yes. Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Chair Gardena? Or yes. Vice Chair Gardena? No, pardon me. No, Chair Blumenberg? Got a promotion.
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg.
Should I get nervous about this, maybe?
Right.
Yes.
All right, that passes 5-0.
Good work, everybody.
All right, we will move on to standard agenda item number 2, our quarterly update on our district 5-year objectives.
Brian? Okay, we're going to bring up our PowerPoint presentation that relates to our 5-year objectives. I'm just going to tonight, just going to kind of hit on one in each category, but feel free if you want to come back to something or spend more time on any of them. But on our first one here on dredging, ensure dredging occurs annually at the Federal Harbor entrance and is needed in the inner harbor. Just want to touch on one here, which is under strategy 1, the fact that our chair Blumenberg as dredging liaison and our senior business operations manager, Todd, had a chance to, attend CMAQ in Washington, D.C. Remember, again, in terms of reporting, we're sort of looking back to the first quarter of the calendar year. So some of these things happened a little bit ago, but not too long ago. So we thank them for giving up the better part of a week and a weekend. I think that travel typically starts on the weekend. And meeting with our federal representatives and members of the president's budget team with OMB and others. I've done it, and it's makes for long days. I know several of the other commissioners have as well, but it's very worthwhile for the Port District and other districts and harbors to be there. So wanted to highlight that. And Todd, if we can move on to public and civic engagement. And on this item under strategy 1, I know the board is really been grateful to see the ongoing village tenant meetings, and in particular we had a chance this last quarter to host the annual Ventura Harbor Village tenant reception on February 23rd. Commissioner Stevens had a chance to join me for that and has gone to several of those. Very well attended, great group, and a lot of fun for people to kind of get together and enjoy their success. And then secondly, I think we all know under strategy 2, collaborate with the city, tenants, and stakeholders on updates to local coastal program and general plan. As you know, I was able to reach out to the city and ask the city planning team and their consultant to come to the port and give a presentation on the updates to the general plan and a local coastal program with particular emphasis on land use strategy. So I thought that was a great discussion here at the board and with the public, and city continues to work down that path. And from there, Todd, let's move on to fishing. And maybe just a couple quick things here under strategy 2, master planning for growth of commercial fishing and sustainable aquaculture capital improvements. The board had approved the contract with the port planning consultant to
received proposal for development of a micro master plan, a site visit and interviews with stakeholders by consultant have begun. That's ongoing. That team continues to reach out and do interviews with everybody from the boatyard to our other commercial fishing users and tenants to gather feedback and input from them. And then right below that, identify and pursue grant funding and opportunities to implement capital infrastructure needs. As the board knows and moved forward with, staff has worked with Port of Hueneme and their consultant to apply for grant funding to modernize commercial fishing infrastructure at the harbor in order to accept squid offloading from Port of Hueneme and align both of our missions. Something I had a chance to talk to the state senator's office about today as well. So we don't have any results on that yet. It's pending, but we're hoping that that grant opportunity is successful. And then on to M, Todd, master tenants, and under strategy one there, the first action, work with master tenants to help facilitate sustainable capital improvement projects. District, well, as we talked about director earlier, district is the lead agency in environmental review of proposed developments for director of Marine Holdings and the Ventura Yacht Club. As you recall, the Ventura Yacht Club initial study mitigated negative declaration was approved on February 1st board meeting, and they are now working their way through Coastal Commission hearings and meetings and so on. And director will be up next. Their public comment period has been underway relative to their environmental review. And we intend to bring that back to the board on June, I believe the meeting is the 7th, to both consider the environmental review and also to consider their project before they go on to the city and Coastal Commission and so on. So a couple of major milestones there, I think, in terms of working with our master tenants. And then Todd, on to N, which is the national parks. And probably just one I'd hit on here under strategy one, working with ANPS to provide upgrade visitor educational signage along pedestrian areas. The district is providing additional wayfinding signs to be installed along Spinnaker Drive. Those are being fabricated now by this month. Additional pedestrian signage to be part of sustainable transportation plan as well. So they had identified some of the concerns and considerations as you get to the end of Spinnaker and where do I get to park if I'm going to the visitor center? And the answer is on the street in Harbor Cove parking lot, which we maintain, and also in Ventura West too. All of those are opportunities for parking, but the signage is there's a lot of different signage and a lot of different messaging, which can be somewhat confusing. So the National Park Service reached out to us and to Ventura West too. We've had a series of meetings over the last several months looking at that issue. There were things that we agreed to do and we're getting them done. There's some additional things they're going to continue to work on as well, but we want to make sure it's clear to people. You can park at Harbor Cove Beach parking lot. You can, of course, park on the street, and you can park over in Ventura West too. Some of the messaging there is no beach parking. There's a variety of things happening down there. The other thing is trying to rearrange the parking lot itself. And we've been working with Ventura West too on that. What parking is there for the cafe? What parking is there for the visitor center and so on? And then from there, Todd, on to parking. I think the board's aware of this one. Action under the first strategy, work with City Active Transportation Plan Working Group to promote emphasis on improved active transportation. And recall that we've worked with the City Transportation Department regarding pursuit of a sustainable transportation grant, a grant that we really couldn't apply for on our own, but with the city as our, let's call it host applicant, allowed us to move forward with that. So we should hear something by the fall. From my understanding, I think that would really link the city's transportation planning to the harbor and bring the two together. So that's a great opportunity, I think, for us. And on to our revenues. The first action there under the first strategy, work with SCE and Cal EVIP. It's a lot of letters there. SLC, the city, to complete installation of EV charging stations That work, now that we're in quarter two, that work is getting underway. The achievements for first quarter: charger procurement complete, designed for VPD headquarters, approved by city and ready for installation. And SCE working on final designs for the village. So we're going to have several, is it four, Todd, charging stations here at the Port District office?
Four, Todd?
Correct.
Yes, okay. So four here, 21 in the village, really get, you know, what's been, I think, four or five, maybe six out of the village is going to be dramatically increased with these grant opportunities and work moving forward. So Joe's been involved with that, as has Todd, and legal's been involved as well, working with us on easements and other issues. So that is really good. And we still under revenue number four strategy. We have the creation and implementation of a tenant portal to allow tenants to report sales and review lease documents. That rollout continues, started with office tenants about a month or so ago. Slowly beginning to roll that out to other tenants that have leases, such as restaurants and retailers and so on. So that's going to be ongoing over the next few months. But when it's all up and running, it'll be a system that'll make for much more efficient use of our tenants' time, staff time, and create that more, I guess, better link in terms of how to do reporting moving forward. And last on the village. Under strategy one, complete outstanding ADA improvements and capital improvement plan. Joe, who's here tonight, has continued to make great strides in restroom development. There are a few that technically fall within the quarter two in terms of completion that have just wrapped up in terms of getting those done. They look great from top to bottom, and they're ADA compliant, and it just creates that much better accessibility and quality improvements within the village as a whole. So those are a few highlights, and Mr. Chow, turn it back to you.
Thank you, Brian. We have any public comments here? Not seen here. How about online? Do we have any public comments about the objectives?
Not online.
Commissioners, thoughts on the objectives?
Thank you for the report. It was great. You guys are continuing to do a ton of work and getting things done, which is great. My only question, I think, is related to the ADA and the restroom upgrades. How many are left that we haven't touched yet?
I'm going to answer part of that, and then these two folks can answer the other part, which is that technically not every single restroom has to be ADA compliant. It's that the restrooms within certain distances of all of the uses within the village do. That being said, there has been a lot of ADA work, and probably Todd and Joe can speak to that. So are there more that are on the list? Because we have a few, Chris, that will be upgrades to them that not necessarily also have to be ADA, that we'll just do some refurbishments as well. So, yeah. Joe, if you want to just touch
on it. Good evening now, Chairman and Commissioners. As today, the village is completely in compliance with the restrooms. The other restrooms, like 1583, falling with the 220 feet with the services, so they're in compliance, so we're doing okay.
And are there some that'll just have upgrades, not necessarily ADA?
Correct. That's 1583 and 1559. Okay. They're just going to be refurbishment.
So just a couple.
Just a couple. Correct.
Great. Thanks. Okay.
And right. Maybe just a comment on that, and that's good to know. I was just going to say, I know ADA requires an awful lot of space and all of that, but I think anytime we're upgrading, even outside of that 220, because sooner or later there's going to be something that's going to come down the pike that's going to say we're going to be responsible for everything in that regard. So I imagine if we look at fixtures or whatever internally, and then what we have to do externally maybe gets pushed down the road till something like that happens. I did look out here, and one of the things I did want to say is I know that Wi-Fi in the village. I know that folks that are, especially for visitors, that's huge. And I was just wondering, I know we haven't done anything this quarter because it's supposed to be, if you could just give me a quick status update, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Todd to give a quick update on that.
Commissioner Brennan, so in consultation with our IT provider, SwiftChip, they are cautioning us to be a little to pace ourselves on that. The biggest issues are security and maintenance. The requirement to provide 24/7 customer support of that would be a radical expense. And then they said that the ability to provide sufficient data security and to prevent misuse of internet services on a public supplied data portal isn't maybe the best solution. They are recommending that because 5G Wi-Fi or 5G cell services now completely covers the entire harbor, that we actually engage directly with the mobile phone providers to potentially either upgrade, add repeaters, or maybe a microcell to ensure that all of the three primary tower providers have the best solution. That may come at zero cost to us, that may come at some cost to us, but the CEO of SwiftChip is carrying the torch for us on this discussion right now. So that's on the back burner while we evaluate our CIP for next year.
Great, thanks for the update. Sounds right direction for sure. I appreciate the caution. That's we want to do those. Thank you.
I think Joe had one additional comment.
Continue on the two remaining buildings, 1583 and 5059, the two restrooms that are not ADA, we can't do anything about converting them into ADA because we have a facility, which is the electrical on 5059 Brophy's building, that we cannot expand in more. But across the way, there's an ADA family room, which combined, which is makes it legal for us to be in an ordinance. And as for 1583, it's the same situation. We have an elevator next to it and the electrical room behind it, so we can expand it. So that falls, all those tenants and restaurants fall to within the distance to walk to 5075. So we're in compliance there as well. We tried, but they told us no way we could do it. Okay.
So, Brian, just want to ask a slightly different question. We have talked about the aggressiveness of our strategy and goals and how many there are. Is there something that you weren't able to achieve because of time or resources that was scheduled or thought to be on for this past quarter?
Not so much for the last quarter, but there is a note that I put in there on a couple of items that I think are given in some ways about how we're advancing. One that I think is more timely and can be moved at a faster clip. So the example I'll give is parcel 5 versus parcel 8. So parcel 5, again, is bigger than the area I'm talking about, but the portion of parcel 5 that's the grass lawn area. I think we had initially in Q2 of this year to begin discussions about that, and we actually advanced that into Q1 with the preliminary discussion with RRM design group at one of the previous meetings. Mm-hmm. And we had an opportunity to actually meet with Coastal Commission staff this week, which was very supportive and favorable of our preliminary discussion we had with the board. So I feel really good about continuing to move that forward. And we'll want to come back to the board with a full contract for RRM to begin to get under design work. That obviously will need lots of capital planning and expense and beginning to figure that out. But there's nothing that I got in terms of the feedback from Coastal that would suggest to me that we couldn't start going down this path. So I feel really good about that and moving that forward. Parcel 8, I think, is much more complex. There's a lot more coastal issues, a lot more environmental issues. There's coastal dunes, there's sea level risers, just a lot of things that the pad at parcel 5 is within a built shopping center. The end of Spinnaker Drive, parcel 8, is not. And it is disturbed land for sure, but there are many more policies and considerations and constraints, I think, that'll play roles in that. There have been discussions with National Park Service about some kind of joint, you know, way to maybe elevate that parcel from parking lot, which is what we use it for today, for overflow parking, training, other events, to something that would add to the visitor experience. But I haven't seen, they've been, I think, more focused on their own facility upgrades and working on that, and then working with us on the things I mentioned earlier about parking and so on. So I think we had that also as coming up in quarter two of this year, and I just don't see that happening right now. I see these other things have much greater momentum, and I think we'd be probably not using our best resources most efficiently to spend a lot of time and energy on that right now while we've got momentum on the parcel five. So that's one. The other one, and I think there's still opportunities as it relates to, you know, the ponds and connecting trails and increasing tourism. It's a little bit more, I don't know that one's ripe either, although with our sustainable transportation grant planning, if that comes through in the fall, maybe that starts to create the timing in which that planning effort could make more sense than right now. So those are probably the two that jump out at me that I think that for probably different reasons, they're just not ready for staff to engage in a lot of time and energy.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Sure. Brian, we recently completed a tenant survey and the results were very positive, but was there anything from the tenant survey that you jumped out at you that you would want to add to this, or is that something you'd want to ponder some more?
Yeah, as staff, it was overall very positive, and I think we got some nice constructive comments as well in some areas related to the village. I think, you know, one of the newer areas is the sustainability, and Vice Chair, you talked about a little bit earlier with the meeting with the restaurants and so on. So we posed that question about, you know, how did people think we were doing relative to that? I didn't expect necessarily a really strong result because we just started these efforts, but it was quite positive. But, you know, some people are like, well, I'm not, you know, what are you doing and what are those efforts and so on? So I think that's an area that is less about, you know, looking backwards and more about looking forwards, I think, in terms of beginning to continue to build on some of those, you know, some of those efforts that we've been engaged in. So I think that's one. The other one was in areas of landscaping, you know, continuing to work on building that. You know, the balancing act is being sustainable in terms of landscape design and irrigation systems while still providing an inviting, you know, village, and not just the village, you know, I'm sure many of the people comment we're probably village tenants, but remember we maintain all these other common areas at the entry points into the harbor and so on. So for those areas that we maintain, it is that balancing act where we've begun replacing sprinkler heads with drip lines and plants that use more water with less. But as we go through that transition, I think there's opportunities for us as a team to learn best practices in some of those transitions from one type to the other that still give that inviting look and feel. So I think that's an area we want to continue to grow with in terms of our own knowledge as a staff and implement as we go. So those are probably a couple quick examples I can think of.
Yeah. Both good examples. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
One of the other things that caught my eye in here was the bus that ran, I don't know if that was last summer or the prior summer. Is that an action that we had to encourage, or is there anything we need to do? Is that going to happen again?
Yeah, I'll let John talk to that. He's actually really helped to encourage their coming out. So, John, go ahead.
Yeah, so we were kind of engaged in trying to find better transportation into the harbor in the summertime for a number of years. And the low-hanging fruit was reaching out to the city of Thousand Oaks and Moore Park because they were currently operating a bus. However, they were taking it to Los Angeles County beaches. So for me, I thought it was an easy sell coming here, not going over a really steep hill and not having to deal with the hustle and bustle of Zuma Beach, which is even more densely populated and difficult to navigate. Thousand Oaks at that time was interested. However, they had a few issues and then COVID hit and they were just out of the game. Moore Park said, we're in, and they've been in for the last 3 years. This year, well, a couple years ago during the riots, Santa Clarita reached out to us saying, hey, we used to take people to Santa Monica. We're concerned about their safety. Are you guys available? And we said, sure. That was a couple year process. We finally got them to engage. And so They are now going to also bring a bus. Moore Park brings it twice a week, midweek, and then the Santa Clarita bus is going to come Saturdays and Sundays, which is an improvement in the sense that that's one of our major demographics. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of people from Santa Clarita. So the ability to actually get that ride share going and decrease actual physical cars and parking spaces, especially for the people that might be going to the beach, should have some real benefits. And then reaching out, you know, as we have this proof of concept, the hardest sell was our beach is just as good as Zuma or better. To me, I didn't think it was a hard sell, but for them, they know Zuma Beach. Once the people are coming here and seeing the park service and the kayaks mm-hmm. and all the different stimulations all in a small controlled spot, they're getting on board. So of course we'd like to reach out to other cities more locally, and Santa Paula, Fillmore, Camarillo, Oxnard, while being respectful of, we don't want too many people here or too many buses all at the same time. So that, I think organically we'll keep increasing the outreach and trying to keep it coordinated so we don't have 20 buses here and they overwhelm the harbor, but strategic ones that have real value to the big goal. That's where we're at. So yeah, the Santa Clarita have been here twice in the last week doing the trial runs with the new drivers. They have beautiful buses. We're going to put up a sign at the bus pickup location near the park service. And I'm working with them in case the bus drivers want to stay longer where they can park the bus that's outside of the main areas. For example, the Schooner or Angler Court or some of the other places. So
great. Sounds like great work, John. Appreciate bringing all those people in.
Chair, if I could just point. I did, after I had breakfast last Saturday, at Harbor Cove, and you just explained why I saw the bus from Santa Clarita. Yeah. And they were training, so that was wonderful to see, and I kept thinking, oh, okay, maybe they're working on the program. So well done. Absolutely. And driver was just sort of driving slow, figuring it all out, surfers running across and all the things that happened. But yeah, it was nice to see that happen. So,
and with this, the Santa Clarita group, the first thing that they asked was cross promotions for marketing too. So we instantly got Jennifer and her team involved in that and are looking at ways that we could get greater savings mm-hmm. and get the marketing to those people also. So yeah, it seems to be something that we'll look at and really evaluate how the success and then keep going from there.
I have a question. What's the percentage of the village tenants utilizing the tenant portal?
I don't know that I have a percentage yet. Again, we rolled it out with the office tenants first. Okay. So that was phase one, and that's where we're at right now. We're just beginning to start to roll it out to the other tenants. That in some ways the office tenants have the least complicated leases, mm-hmm. and so we wanted to start there. So
what about the utilization of the online payments?
Couldn't comment on a percentage, but I know that tenants are using it. There's a bit of a bug regarding some of the more complicated ones, like the restaurants, where they have to report their sales, but they can't make the payment until after. So we're working out a couple of kinks specific to our leasing strategy, but the tenants they've given it a stab. They've been working with us on it, and we're now back with the vendor to try and implement a bug fix.
Good, Johnny. Chris, as long as we have the Harbor Master here, I saw a sign this morning heading to work that May 7th, I guess Sunday, there's a triathlon on Harbor Boulevard. Will that impact the district at all, the port?
Before John jumps in, that is an event that is sanctioned by the Harbor, by us. So through marketing, we have a application process in which any user who wants to use the harbor goes through that application process. And then once that's received by marketing, then there's a distribution of that throughout the all the departments. I know John's been tracking some of the construction work out on Harbor, but the triathlon has been an event that's been in the Harbor here off and on for several years. So actually a good event for the Harbor. But John.
Yeah. So the signs are part of the public outreach, so people are aware. This is, as Brian mentioned, it's been a multi-year event, and each year we evaluate the effects on the harbor and try to decrease the adverse effects on the harbor. One of the things that we've worked with them over the last couple years is to lower the numbers, and there is a goal of a hard stop by noon. So they start early and they get done early. We figure most of our clientele tends to come in around noonish or later on the weekends anyways. There will be a temporary disruption in traffic in regards to one of the lanes will be completely dedicated for the event, and then the other will be two-way traffic. So there won't be any, there'll be a little bit of an inconvenience, but there'll still be two-way traffic in and out of the harbor. The participants will leave the harbor and make a right on Harbor, go down to Fifth Street, come back to Gonzales, and then back in Harbor, and then ultimately down Spinnaker. So a little bit of a inconvenience. We'll see some signs get put up the day before noticing people that they shouldn't be leaving their cars overnight. People shouldn't be doing that anyways. But it's a very professionally run program, and it brings a lot of people who come to the Harbor, and we tend to get good feedback from those visitors.
You know, one of the things that we've been doing, and this is sort of post-COVID, is beginning to use parking lot 19A on Harbor and Schooner a lot more. And so depending on the size of the event, sometimes one of the requirements is that the vehicles that relate to the event have to use that lot and then provide shuttle service back and forth. So again, it's sort of size dependent. But then we also are using the Dolphin lot, which is the one inside of Safe Harbor, as an overflow. But if we think the event's too big, but still something that is beneficial to the harbor, we've begun using that as satellite parking so that we have less of a parking impact on the village itself while bringing a nice community event to the harbor.
In addition to that, the vendors required to have monitors at the lots to ensure that the participants are not parking and interfering with Island Packers parking. Island Packers is really the one group that would potentially be affected, but they have monitors each one of the sections. And then our orange traffic board will be brought into that lot for that particular day saying no event parking.
I would suggest you go down there. It's a big event. It's really well run. It's a professional operation. This is what they do. They run those events. And as John said, they're out of there by noon, I would say, if not. How they run this thing, it's not that everyone's there till noon. A lot of people are done even by 10 a.m. and are out of there. But it's a great event. It brings a lot of people down to the harbor.
All right, good discussion. Any more comments? Appreciate all that discussion. Appreciate the feedback. This was receive and file, so we don't need to take a vote. We will move on to standard agenda item number 3, which is an update on the trash enclosure project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Todd, is this going to be yourself or Joe this evening? Okay, Joe, you're going to give us a quick update here on the recommended action item.
Good evening, Commissioners and Chair. Staff is recommending that the board approves amendment number 1 to the agreement with Carjo Engineering for the 5059 and 1691 trash enclosures in the amount of $98,000 for a total of $275,000, and B, a budget adjustment to the 5-year capital improvement plan for the Harbor Village trash enclosure from $225,000 to $275,000. With the recent weather change, especially the sandstorms, has overrun the sod and has also prevented sprinklers from working properly. They just pop up and they don't retract, and then it becomes a trip hazard, and people come and rake them, and it's just creating more problems for our facilities department. This project of the attraction crossing is allowing the new pavers to be used in the islands rather than the grass. Staff is recommending adding more pavers and drought tolerant plants on nearby, I believe, six islands. And these six planters are also high traffic walking areas. And changing these planters from grass to pavers and vegetation will be beneficial to the public and the district. Additionally, this request also includes stainless steel mesh, which I have a sample here if you guys would like to see. And this mesh is used for the top of the trash enclosures to prevent birds, especially seagulls, to get into the trash bins and create a mess. And they love it when they do. And the galvanized steel used for the trash enclosures at 1575, the one we did last year, we use hot dip galvanized mesh. And unfortunately, with the recent sandstorms, it just blasted all the galvanized and now they're rusting. So that's what brought us here to present an upgrade with the stainless steel mesh. And that will prevent that from happening again. So if you have any questions, we're here to answer.
I would add, as part of this contract, not the amended, the requested amendment, but all of the old trash enclosures that had seen their day and then some have been demolished as part of this project. So
correct.
Those are gone. That is another, this is another sustainability effort. These trash enclosures are designed for recycling, as Joe points out, for from keeping trash from you know, coming out because of the birds, and with the stainless steel change and taking what are very difficult grass area with these planters and doing some of the things we just talked about earlier, replacing that with a portion of pavers while maintaining some landscape area, but switching out from sprinkler heads to drip irrigation systems. So I think on the whole, this is a very helpful addition to the project, and we'll give a cleaner look as you walk, as you drive along kind of the main driveway in front of Casa de Regales and Boatyard Pub and other uses along the front edge.
Yeah, it's in one of our main highways there, or streets or driveways. Addition to that, they really have traffic location there. So putting pavers with the plants and everything, that makes access for them to walk through instead of running into our plant system.
All right, do we have any public comments on this item? And none in person, so I'll turn it over to the commission. Chris?
I'll move the item as presented.
Do we have any other comments or questions?
Well, I'll second that, but my comment is the pavers look good. I think that's a real improvement, and it's going to be so much easier to maintain for staff. Correct. And I'm glad you brought up that last point, because it's going to provide another little avenue for pedestrians where they're not going to feel like they're traipsing through planted material, right, to get to some of our access points. So yeah. I think it's
great. In addition to that, we're not going with the regular size pavers. We're going with the extra long ones. So just in case a semi or a truck runs over the curb, they were not going to damage them. So we're thinking all that.
Yeah, I just want to confirm, I think even though it's an increase in the mid-year budget, it's budget neutral because of the offsets.
Tom might be able to answer that one better for me.
So the original budget that was approved last year was higher, but the bids came in lower, so we reduced the budget prior to determining we needed these change orders. We knew that some change orders were coming, which were related to extending the sidewalks to meet the ADA grade. But overall, in terms of the capital improvement budget, there's some projects that are not being completed at this time, for example, the Wi-Fi project. So we have money available to redirect to the project without exceeding the overall CIP.
Well, and even with the increase, it's lower than our original estimate. Right. And I'll just imagine Joe having installed a lot of chain link fences in my childhood. Even if they weren't sandblasted, they weren't going to last out here in this environment. So the steel's the way to go.
Sounds like a rough childhood.
If you ever tried to dig post holes in San Francisco, you would know it was difficult.
One more comment about the pavers. You know, we just went through our objectives, and I noted one of our objectives: more sustainability, more drought tolerance. So we're putting it, we're implementing. So great work. No more comments, no more questions. I've got a motion from Commissioner Brennan and a second from Commissioner Stevens. So this can be a voice vote. So all in favor of approving amendment number one, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the amendment is approved. All right, so we will move to our fourth and last item on the open agenda. Brian, I assume you'd like to defer this one to Andy or myself.
I'll defer to the chair and legal counsel.
All right. So over the past couple of months, the commission has done a couple of things. First of all, we did a performance evaluation for our general manager. There was an ad hoc committee that led that effort that culminated in an excellent performance review for Brian. Much appreciated for all the work that you've done this past year. Very successful year. After that, we took a look at compensation, did a market survey of what the what your peers are earning, considered that excellent performance over the past year, and what we're bringing to the table tonight for discussion and approval by the board is a couple of things. An amendment, first of all, to the general manager's at-will agreement that would offer a 1.5% merit-based increase. And in addition to that, a $5,000 bonus. And then the third thing we'd like to do, because one of the things that the ad hoc committee, Commissioner Gardena and I struggled with is while we wanted to recognize that excellent performance, we struggled with, can the district afford this? And Brian, we think you did a great job when you looked at doing a merit-based pay program for the rest of employees, aligning that with the mid-year budget, that would give you and the board the opportunity to assess, can we afford this or not? And we thought, why are we managing, why are we handling you differently? One of the reasons is you're on an individual contract, unlike anybody else. But we thought that the affordability question could be best managed by aligning yourself with the rest of the team. And so that's that third item. Andy, anything to add to that?
No, I don't think so. I think you said it well.
Okay. So, commissioners, let me ask any public comments on this item.
No.
I have dealt with people in the public, commissioners, congressmen, senators. Brian does an absolutely excellent job and has welcomed Leonore and I in a way that is kind of unique in this day and age. A lot of times you run into roadblocks when you're dealing with those who have to approve projects and whatnot. And Brian and Todd have just been incredibly helpful and gone over and above to help us along the way. So I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Well said, Tom. Thank you. My partner on the ad hoc committee, would you like to add anything?
I think Tom said it well, but Brian, I've said this to you in private. I'll say it to you in public. I think you're just doing an absolutely wonderful job. And part of the strength of what you've done is building the team that you have built around you. I think leaders are ones that can lead from the middle and allow for those around them to shine and to grow and develop. And you are building that within the district, which is just going to make the district stronger. So really pleased with what you've been able to do in the time that you've been here.
Thank you, Jackie.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to belabor the point, but you are doing a terrific job. You know, and Jackie made a good point, and it's something that I, as a manager, you know, your staff is so vital, and you say to the staff that their success was my success, in your case, your success, right? And it's everybody kind of rises and together and so I what I'm trying to say is not only thank you for the good job you're doing, thank you to the staff you wouldn't be here without them, and I don't think they would be as successful as they have been without you. So I think that's a terrific situation, and we've really benefited from that. And then lastly, I just want to thank the ad hoc committee. Having done that many times, I'm not sure people realize how much effort goes into doing this. This isn't something that's done lightly. And I think it's important for people to understand that. There's a lot of work that goes into that, a lot of evaluation. It's something we take very seriously. And so thanks to you two for all your good work.
And thank you, Chris. Appreciate that.
Great. And Brian, it's all been said, but I haven't had a chance to say it, so ditto. I'm working on it.
Well said. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to give you, Brian, my appreciation for coming onto the commission and having, you know, with your leadership and you showing me the ropes and everything like that. And I really appreciate, especially with the strategic planning that's happening. I think in a lot of organizations I've worked for, it's been weak or non-existent. I think that you invite participation and involvement, particularly with the staff. And I just want to commend you on that. It's a very well-run organization, I must say. And I just want to commend you.
Thank you, Tony.
Speaking of staff, Gloria, thank you for helping me think through that affordability question, giving me some data to understand what we're proposing here. And we're on for a voice vote here. So, commissioners, what shall we do with this?
I move the recommended action.
A second.
Got a motion and a second. So all in favor of authorizing amendment number one to increase, to give a merit-based salary increase, authorize a $5,000 bonus, and then realign the evaluation period, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the amendment and the bonus is approved. Brian, congratulations very much. You would like to add something?
I did, but I didn't want to interrupt the vote. So I too wanted to thank the ad hoc committee. I agree with you, Chris. It is not a light amount of workload in terms of taking that on. So I definitely recognize that and appreciate it from both our chair and vice chair, having worked on those myself. And then the board as a whole, Tony, you talk about the strategic sort of vision and effort. I think that is definitely a team effort, not only staff and general manager, but the board. A lot of what you've seen has been really worked on over the last, you know, 3 years or so, from updating to these new guiding principles and the five-year objectives, which first came about in about 2021 or so, or 2020 maybe. So it's been great to work with the board as a whole. I completely agree with all the comments about staff. Many staff like John and others and Joe and many others who aren't here tonight have been with the organization for a long period of time, but in some cases have had the chance to move up within the organization, take on new roles and responsibilities. Of course, Todd's been here for about 3.5 years and has had the chance to move up as well and been an integral part of the management team. So we meet every Tuesday morning at 10 with our team and get together and work on the next agenda, work on topics and issues, and it's a pleasure to get together with that group every week. So thank you very much for your action tonight and look forward to the next year.
Yeah, last year we had the pleasure of offering and you accepted, of course, a five-year contract. So great work in the first year, and I can only imagine where we're going to be 4 years from now.
Thank you so much.
So, all right, before we adjourn, could you just give us a quick look ahead? So our next meeting is on the 17th, and will that be our budget workshop?
Yeah, so sort of a quick preview on
budget, yes. So on the meeting of the 17th, we will begin what has become sort of a three-part series on budgets. Used to be a two-meeting effort. We expanded that, I think, about 3 years ago now, to add a budget study session before getting into the preliminary budget and the final budget. So I think we do have confirmed Mary Beth Redding, who is our CalPERS actuarial, who I think the board enjoys getting those updates on. So she's going to join us on the 17th and give us all an update on what's happening at the state level, what's happening with the CalPERS actuarials, and how does that relate to the Port District. You've seen her give all of her graphs and charts and details, which help us to plan, and it's great to have her here on the front end of the process. So that'll start that. We'll follow with the first meeting in June. I mentioned the director item that will be on June 7th, but we'll also have the preliminary budget that evening. And then we would plan for final budget adoption on June 21st, well ahead of the beginning of the fiscal year. If need be, there is another Tuesday out there, the 28th, if we needed any additional time or consideration. We also are planning to bring back or bring to the board, Ventura West team has begun working on master planning. You heard some of their feedback during the general plan discussion, and they'd like to come back and talk with the board and give a presentation about their vision for the future. So we're excited about that and the opportunity for the board to hear more about what their plans are. So that's sort of a look ahead over the next couple of meetings.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Brian. Yeah. And one final look ahead is next Monday, the vice chair, myself, and Brian, we will go visit city council to give them our semi-annual update. So looking forward to that. We are ready to adjourn our open session. Well, we are adjourned, and we'll take a one-minute break and clear the room and reconvene in the closed session to finish off the closed session agenda.